Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Rivrajakacharya Astotara Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Explanation of Devotional Service. Text 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Bhakti yoga bhakti yoga bahuvidho margar bhamani bhavyate swabhava guna margena hungsam bhavo vidvidyate sri bhagavanu vacha Bhakti yoga bahuvidho margair bhamani bhavyate swabhava guna margena pungsang bhavo vibhidyate. Bhakti yoga bahuvidho Margayar bhamini bhavyate Swabhava guna margena Pungsavavo vividyate Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bhakti yoga bahuvidho Bhaknir bhavani bhavyate Svabhava guna margena Punksam bhavo vibhidyate. Sri Bhagavanu vacha. Bhakti yoga bahuvidho. Margar bhamini vavyate. Shravava guna margena. Punksam bhavo vibhidyate. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bhakti Yoga Bahuvidho Margar Bhamini Bhavyate Svabhava Guna Margena Pungsam Bhava Vibhidyate. Anyone else? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Bhakti yoga bahuvidho Margar bhamini bhavyate Svabhava guna margena Pungsam bhava vibhidyate. Sri Bhagavan uvacha. The personality of Godhead replied. Bhakti yoga, devotional service, bahuvidaha, multifarious, margai, with paths, bhamini, O noble lady, bhavyate, is manifest, swabhava, nature, guna, qualities, margena, in terms of behavior, pungsam, of the executors, bhavaha, the appearance, vibhidyate, is divided. Translation. Lord Kapila, the personality of Godhead, replied, O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor or executor, as you may prefer. Please repeat. Lord Kapila, the personality of Godhead, replied, O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness is one, because in pure devotional service there is no demand from the devotee to be fulfilled by the Lord. But generally, people take to devotional service with a purpose. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, people who are not purified take to devotional service with four purposes. A person who is distressed because of material conditions becomes a devotee of the Lord and approaches the Lord for mitigation of his distress. A person in need of money approaches the Lord to ask for some improvement in his monetary condition. Others who are not in distress or in need of monetary assistance but are seeking knowledge in order to understand the absolute truth also take to devotional service, and they inquire into the nature of the Supreme Lord. This is very nicely described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 16. Actually, the path of devotional service is one without a second, but according to the devotee's condition, devotional service appears in multifarious varieties, as will be nicely explained in the following verses. Om Ajnana Timarandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here in the 29th chapter of the third canto, Lord Kapiladeva is beginning his description. Thank you. Of devotional service as executed by different types or qualities of persons. Persons who are affected differently by the modes of nature on their arrival at the platform of devotional service. Typically, these lower qualities, lower modes of nature, are manifest to a certain degree and color or effect one's devotional service. A pure devotee has no demands to make of the Lord. He has no motive other than to please or satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know this from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavratam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktir uttama. That uttama, that pure devotional service, topmost, that is performed without any motive for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or mental speculation, and it's done favorably to satisfy the Lord the way the Lord desires. Here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as Bhagavad Gita and Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear how devotional service is desired by the Lord, how it is to be performed, what is to be accepted, what is to be rejected. The path of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, rikshishyatiti vishvaso, gopkritvevarnam tata, atmanikshepa, karpanye shadvidha, sharanagati. There's sixfold path, divisions of surrender. Accepting what's favorable, rejecting what's unfavorable for devotional service. Accepting the Lord as one's protector, thinking of no other protector but the Lord, considering the Lord one's guardian and master, like that. Atmanikshepa and karpanye, humility. So this is the mood of a devotee who's practicing devotional service. We come from all different backgrounds, isn't it? We come from all different backgrounds. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you find in this particular verse, which Prabhupada has strongly emphasized, Chaturvadabha jante mam jana sukritina orjana arto jigyasur artarti jnanicha bharatarshiva. Four kinds of persons coming to devotional service. He says there are four, best among the bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who's searching after the nature of the absolute. So these four personalities are described as sukritina. They are those who obey the rules and regulations of the scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. They have these preliminary qualifications. And then later on in the purport, Prabhupada describes how even some of those people from the duskritina class, which are described in the previous verse, right? Even some of them take to devotional service. How? They contact the Lord's pure devotee. By contacting the Lord's pure devotee, they become enlivened and purified to the point where they can actually begin the process of devotional service. This is the power of the association of the Lord's pure devotee. They are described as namam duskritano mudha prapadyante naradama, right? Mayaya parita jnana asuram bhavam ashrita. They do not have very good qualities. They are generally unregulated. They reject the rules and regulations of the scriptures. In this way, very unfortunate. But their good fortune is created by the Lord's pure devotee when they have this opportunity to come in contact with him. So devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, they are all the order carriers of the Lord's pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. They're carrying the Lord's order and trying in various ways through various intense endeavors to engage people in Krishna consciousness. When Srila Prabhupada came to the West, there were not too many sukritinas. Not too many. Mostly we were on the duskritina platform. Although one could say, according to Shastra, that one does not come to devotional service except he has somewhere or other performed or contacted a devotee, performed some sort of service in a previous life, got some sort of a jnana sukriti. Prabhupada said, I have created your pious activities. I have created your sukriti. So we should understand our good fortune. And when Prabhupada was here in India, trying for so many years to kindle the flames of Krishna consciousness, to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement here in India, he was not getting much response. Actually, he had to go to the land of the Duskritinas and bring them back to the land of the Sukritinas to convince them, oh, this is very wonderful. Krishna consciousness. This is our heritage. This is our legacy. Our Supreme Lord Krishna. Now we understand what Krishna was saying. Now we understand. Krishna consciousness is understood in this way by studying the nature and quality of the Lord's pure devotee. We may not have access by a very big brain to understanding the intricacies of devotional service in terms of the Shastra, in terms of so many rules and regulations, but by the example, Acharya. There's prachar and there's achar. There's precept and there's example. So Acharya is someone who teaches by example. So our beloved Srila Prabhupada did this. And as a result, we can see that Krishna Balar Mandir fills up with devotees from all over the world because of Achar, Acharya. So, back to this purport in the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada says, unlike the miscreants, these are adherents of the regulative principles of the scriptures, and they are called sukritina, or those who obey the rules and regulations of scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada describes these four different classes. These are not pure devotees because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange for devotional service. And then Prabhupada quotes this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse, Ananyabhilashita Shunya. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. They also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them, devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. Those who are always busy with fruitive activities come to the Lord in material distress, and at the same time associate with pure devotees and become, in their distress, devotees of the Lord. Those who are simply frustrated also come sometimes to associate with the pure devotees and become inquisitive to know about God. Similarly, when the dry philosophers are frustrated in every field of knowledge, they sometimes want to learn of God, and they come to the Supreme Lord to render devotional service and thus transcend knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma and come to the personal conception of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotee. On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, and those who are in need of money are freed from all material desires, and when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, nothing to do with it, they become pure devotees. As long as such a purified stage is not attained, devotees in transcendental service to the Lord are tainted with fruitive activities, the search for mundane knowledge, etc. So one has to transcend all this before one can come to the stage of pure devotional service. The Lord goes on to say in the next verse, Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhakti visishyate priyohi jnani notiartam ahang sachamama priyaha. Of these four, the person who is in full knowledge and who is engaged in my pure devotional service is the best, for I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. And then he emphasizes it again in the next verse.
It's interesting that the Lord is repeating this
yet again. Udara sarva evaite.
They're all magnanimous souls, these four. Just because they're coming to me with material desires does not mean,
all right, come on.
The Lord is declaring them magnanimous souls, great souls. But he's saying, of them, he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self.
Gyani tvatmaiva mematam, astita sahi yuktatma, mam evanutamam gatim.
Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me the highest and most perfect goal. So Krishna is giving his assurance that if you want him exclusive of other matters, exclusive of some material gain, you will attain him. He assures you. Actually, there's a nice section in Srimad Bhagavatam where the Lord addresses this issue in terms of the devotees and their different... They are coming, they have some material desires. And there's a nice purport, which I will just now look up. It's in the fifth canto, chapter 19, the purport to text 28. The translation for the text runs as follows. This is spoken by the demigods. Also Narada Muni is speaking with them. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives. But he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it. And that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. Jai Sri Sri Gaurani Tai, Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundar, Sri Sri Krishna Balarama Ki Jai. So that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead's special mercy. Even the devotee with material desires doesn't aspire for 100% pure devotional service. The Lord gives him the shelter of his lotus feet and purifies him. Prabhupada says in the purport, the Lord is so kind even to a Sakama Bhakta, a devotee with material desires, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes an Akama Bhakta. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, became a Bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than that of his father. But finally, he became an Akama Bhakta and said to the Lord, Swamin Kritartosmi Varangnayate. My dear Lord, I am very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Sometimes it is found that a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or some other sweetmeat. Devotees who aspire for material benedictions are compared to such children. We are like that. When we have material desires, we are eating the dirt. The Lord is so kind that he takes away their material desires. He takes away their material desires and gives them the highest benediction. Therefore, even for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must fully engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that all his desires will be fulfilled and at the end he can go back home, back to Godhead. Now, what follows is a really wonderful explanation that Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 22. And what Prabhupada does is he walks through word for word or with phrases from those verses. It's chapter 22, Majjalila, if you want to reference later. Text 37 through 39 and text 41. You have to follow closely. This is Krishna speaking about what he's going to do in the case of a devotee with material desires, which I know certainly applies to me, and which I'm hoping will happen to me. Anyakami, a devotee may desire something other than the service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Yadi kare krishnera bhajana, but if he engages in Lord Krishna's service, na magiteha krishna tare dena swacharana, Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet even though though he does not aspire for it. Krishna kahe, the Lord says, ama bhaje, he is engaged in my service. Mage vishaya sukha, but he wants the benefits of material sense gratification. Please forgive my pronunciation. Amrita chadi vishamage. Such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. E bada murka. That is his foolishness. You know this word, murka. Murka. Fool. Ami vigya. But I am experienced. The Lord is saying, I am experienced. Emurke vishaya kene diva. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? Swacharanamrita. It would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet. Vishaya bulaiva. I shall cause him to forget all material desires. Kama lagi krishna bhaje. If one engages in the service of the Lord for sense gratification, poi krishna rase, the result is that he ultimately gets a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Kama chadi dasa hoite hoi abhilashe. He then gives up all material desires and wants to become an eternal servant of the Lord. So this is our hope, that Krishna will give us this mercy. Therefore, Narada Muni says, Akama sarva kamo va, moksha kama udaradi, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whatever your condition, akama, you're desireless, sarva kama, you have all material desires, you're loaded with material desires, you desire liberation, you should render forceful devotional service, focused, forceful devotional service. The word is tivrena. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivrena. Render this type of service and all your desires will be fulfilled. And they will be fulfilled, we have the assurance of the Lord himself, in such a way that you will give up the lower thing for the higher thing. Parangdrishva navartate. Vishyani vinivartate. Niraharasya dihinaha. Rasavarjam paropyasya. Parangdrishva navartate. You will give up the lower thing for the higher thing because you will get a taste for the sweetness of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So we are hoping and praying every day that we will get this taste. Another stimulus for that taste, very important, is association and service of the Lord's pure devotees. If we neglect that, we run a risk. We run a risk. There is risk on this path as well. We've heard that a devotee can get the Lord's lotus feet even though he has material desires by the Lord's grace. But there's a risk. The risk is offenses. Offenses to the devotees. That is the one big risk. The Lord does not take even so much consideration of offenses to him. But offenses to the Lord's devotees, that can uproot the creeper of devotional service, make a huge mess of everything, therefore called mad elephant offense. I have not seen a mad elephant. Actually, I saw one video once of elephants on a rampage. If you see like this, they are practically an unstoppable force. And when they're angry, you're not going to say, my dear elephant, please calm down. It's not going to happen. He's going to tear this way, that way, and create all havoc until everything is torn up and destroyed. And they're smart, aren't they? Elephants are very intelligent. They will look when they're angry. Well, God, I'm going to break this, and then I'm going to... You know. So mad elephant offense is like that. it actually focuses on destroying one's creeper. So we should be very careful to avoid offenses to the Lord's devotees. And we should also be mindful that we must give up our desires for fruit of activities and so forth, pursuit of mundane knowledge. We should give these up. They are obstacles. They are obstructions on the path of devotional service. And they leave us at risk that we may take the Lord's pure representative in a casual way, take the Lord's instructions in a casual way, and prolong our suffering in this material world. There is no happiness here. We are trying for happiness in a place where there's absolutely none. Actually, the very endeavor for material happiness assures us of misery. Prahlad Maharaj teaches this. The very endeavor for material happiness assures us of more and more suffering. By endeavors for material happiness, right now, we are creating our next material body. So we should not endeavor this in this way. We should endeavor rather, in spite of the desires which are constantly coming from the mind for this enjoyment or that enjoyment or do this, do that. We should endeavor simply for devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that a man should be like an ocean. He gives this simile. Someone may know the verse. You know the Sanskrit? Can you say the first line? Yeah. How does it run? Apuryamana machala pratishtam yadvat avrunti sarve tadvat kamayam pravashanti yadvat sarve sashantam apnoti nakama kami. That it should be like an ocean. There are rivers coming into the ocean. They're pouring in. You ever seen my country, Mississippi River? It's just a going. Sometimes it's going. They've made all these levees all along the river. And when the Mississippi decides, it just pushes them out of the way and floods the country for miles around. It's going into the Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of Mexico is pouring into the ocean. But the ocean remains at its proper height. Of course, on the rare occasion, it doesn't. But in general, the ocean remains still, although all of these rivers are entering in. So Krishna gives his example. He says, the desires are coming like rivers, but a devotee should be like an ocean. He should remain still and not act on those desires. By acting on those desires, one becomes agitated in so many ways. One must learn to control the mind like that. So that, why? Just to control the mind? No, so that one can use the mind in service of the Lord. As to the degree that we are acting on our material desires, to that degree we cannot serve Krishna. You can't. You can't. Well, what I should probably say is serve the Lord's pure representative. You can't render service with a totally distracted mind. We have to focus. We have to focus on the service of the Lord. So, these devotees are getting the Lord's mercy. Even there are some material fruit of desire, because there's some loving reciprocation between the Lord and even devotees who have some material desire. He's all right. You have this material desire. All right, I'll reciprocate with you. The Lord is even reciprocating with devotees of the demigods, even though he says they're less intelligent, because these devotees of the these worshippers of the demigods. They're worshipping the demigods, and the demigods are considered by the Lord to be parts of his transcendental body. So they are rendering service to the Lord, but in an indirect way, and in a way which is considered by the Lord to be less intelligent. But ultimately, by the mercy of the Lord and his pure representative, they may also come to understand after some long time, oh, I got this material reciprocation, it's temporary, it's gone, I'm going to try again and again. Why am I doing this? Why don't I go to the source of all of this and give up this nonsense? So the Vedas are so structured. It's very wonderful, the Vedic literatures. They have instructions for people of all walks of life, all backgrounds, all mentalities. But the focus is that one should come to understand that the highest goal of life is to reawaken one's love for Krishna. Prabhupada elsewhere gives the example that if someone is going to, even a person, he's a meat eater, he has to follow the injunctions of the Vedas, and once, I think, a month, at a particular time, he makes the sacrifice of the animal, and he has to say in the animal's ear some mantra, which essentially means, I understand that I will be eaten in this way. What is it? Mansa. Mansa, the very word for meat. Mansa means will be eaten. So an intelligent person, or a person who's gotten a little more intelligence after some time, thinks, this isn't actually a very good, very good contract to enter into. Maybe I should look for a better contract. So his material desires may change, and then he may become, he may change his worship. So the wonderful thing about devotional service is, rather than take this gradual walk through expression of different material desires to different demigods and for different reasons and purposes, one can come in one fell swoop by the association of a pure devotee to the platform of bhakti yoga. And from there, gradually become purified. Gradually become purified. It's a gradual process, it is often said. But nevertheless, as soon as one comes to this platform where he says, from this day on, my Lord, I am yours, the Lord gives him all protection. The Lord gives him all protection. So we may have so many issues to work out in our Krishna consciousness. And I won't steal the thunder of the next speakers on these verses, even though I was really tempted to, because they're really wonderful verses that are coming up. We really have something to look forward to. Because what Lord Kapiladev does is he describes devotional service in different modes of nature. And when he does that, all of us who are trying to practice Krishna consciousness can see, oh yeah, that's me. Oh, I do that. And it's actually very instructive. It's very good. This, again, is the mercy of the Lord and his pure devotee. They turn the mirror on the disciple. This is what you look like. We tend not to look at ourselves so much, especially in this day and age. We're so extroverted in terms of our consciousness is always out there, isn't it? It's always out there, down the street and around the corner, trying to find sense gratification, trying to find something to satisfy our external senses, trying to find something that will titillate our minds. But we have to actually turn around. We have to look at ourselves, see what's going on, see how we can practice our devotional service tivrena, with great force, not distracted, not weakened by material attention. We put our attention on the Lord. So, the verse again. Sri Bhagavanu Vacha, Bhakti Yoga Bahu Vidho, Margayar Bhamini Bhavyate, Swabhava Gunamargena, Pungsam Bhava Vibhidyate. Lord Kapila, the personality of God, had replied, O noble lady, there are multifarious paths of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. Is there a microphone? Oh, that's all right. Okay, well, we have a microphone. You can speak. Don't be self-conscious. Go ahead.
Sometimes I find that the mind is in a state of self-denial, you know. What is the reason for this?
Sometimes he finds that the mind is in a state of self-denial. What is the reason for this? It's Maya. Self-denial, as I understand, I may be covered by the mode of ignorance and passion, but I'm thinking, I'm okay. I'm fairly well situated on the path of devotional service. Well, the first thing I would say is, that is due to lack of association with pure devotees. As we were just mentioning, that pure devotee turns the mirror. If you associate with advanced devotees, they help you become mindful of your actual condition. become purified. The self-denial, it goes away in time. One becomes a better student of his own nature and how the mind is working. And he can bring it more firmly under control through practice. That and through chanting the Lord's holy names. If we're inattentive in our chanting, committing offenses, yes, we will find ourselves in constant, very often in states of ignorance about our actual situation. So if we avoid the offenses to chanting and we associate with pure devotees, with advanced devotees as much as possible, whenever possible, why are we here in Vrindavan? Why some of us come from halfway around the world? Why come here? Prabhupada says that the special quality of tirthas is that the residents of those places, the holy persons there, you go to hear from them. So we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada here to get purified so that we can render nice service. Of course we come to see the beautiful forms of their lordships. Of course we come to go on parikrama and to remember the Lord and his pastimes. But in order to actually really relish those pastimes, we have to become purified. And in order to become purified, we have to take instruction from the bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, there's no question. I have this crotchet, I'm going to say. I serve in the West, and I have had all varieties of experience in my own devotional life, if I even dare to call it that. But I noticed one thing. Devotees who stay in touch with their spiritual master, who make regular reports on their service, they do better than devotees who they get their initiation, and then they go off, and they're maybe situated even in a temple, but they're not reporting. They're not taking shelter of their guru anymore so much. They are not in as good a situation. And this is actually a common problem, at least as I have seen. So that's my crotchet. You'll have to forgive me for being a little strong about it. But that's my, complaint. We should stick closely to the lotus feet of our spiritual masters and to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. We have to read Prabhupada's books every day. That is association. We can't neglect. Even one day's neglect can wreak havoc. We have to stay in touch with our spiritual master. We have to make reports. This is what I'm doing. This is how I'm feeling enthused. Right? In the Gayatri Mantra, we chant about enthusing the spiritual master as he enthuses us. That's a personal relationship, isn't it? So we should do that. We should stay in touch with our spiritual master. We should stay in touch with Srila Prabhupada by offering so many prayers. Make reports. This also makes us mindful automatically. Their spiritual masters following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, they're initiating so many people all over the world. It's hard to stay in touch, isn't it? They're here maybe 1-2 days and they have to go so many places. Still, you can get in touch. You can send an email. You can send a letter. Practice of composing one's thoughts for serving the spiritual master is purifying. The very practice of reporting on one's service, one's spiritual condition is purifying. Please do this. We should not degenerate into a society in which devotees take initiation and then they're just kind of off on their own. This is not good. This will weaken our society. And frankly, to some degree, it already has. Let us not go down that path. Let us follow the path described by Lord Kapiladev. I'm going to steal some of the thunder from the future speakers. Let us not become separatists. A separatist in relationship with the Lord, a separatist is someone whose his value, his idea, his desires are separate from Krishna. How do we know Krishna's desire? We know through the instructions of his representative. We know as Krishna states them personally in Bhagavad Gita, and we also know through Krishna's representative. So as far as our day-to-day spiritual lives are concerned, we take shelter of the Lord's representative. Krishna becomes pleased by this, because by taking shelter of the Lord's representative, you're worshiping Krishna. If you worship the Lord's representative, he's considering that even better than his own personal worship. Right? So, Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. Microphone over here for Janardhan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Our society became so huge.
Yeah.
That sometimes, even if we send some reports, usually devotees expected that they'll get replied.
Yeah.
However, we should understand our spiritual master is so busy preaching, engaging everyone he meets,
yes,
in devotional service. So we should not be discouraged.
Yeah, good point.
Even though we're sending regular reports. I have,
yes,
experienced that my spiritual master, he reads all the letters, but whichever is needed to be replied and needs some help or something,
yes,
he will do that.
Kind of a triage, you know. On the battlefield, you're they're deciding who can be saved. Who can
yeah, so that was a very good point. We should give reports. We should give reports to the deities also,
yes,
day to day.
Yes, this
whatever,
is also
whatever
very good.
Go on, because they know.
Yes, that's a very good point. Come before the deities. Make your report. Prabhupada also said, if there's some trouble in the temples, trouble, disturbance to the temple, that, you know, how the preaching is going on, you can go before the deity and say, sir, this is the problem. Yeah. Krishna's there. And he can take care of whatever the problem is. But if you don't go to him and say, sir, this is the problem, then how you...
That is being personal.
That is being personal. All right. One other thing, also very important. The representative of the spiritual master in the temple are the temple authorities. You work cooperatively with them. You may not be on the same wavelength all the time. You may think, well, he's like this or she's like that. No, cooperate. Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate together. So cooperate, work with it. I tell you, we suffer to some degree from this impersonalism, isn't it? We don't think of going before the deity form of the Lord and making prayers. We don't necessarily think like that. We don't necessarily think that if I work cooperatively and serve in a temple or with a preaching mission very nicely or with these devotees very carefully or serve, that we don't necessarily connect the dots and realize that Krishna will be satisfied by this. But he says so. Araranam sarvesham Vishnu araranam param tasmat paratanam devi tidiyanam samarchanam. Tidiyanam samarchanam. That's Lord Shiva, actually, speaking, right? Vishnu araranam param. Worship of Lord Vishnu. Better than worship of Lord Vishnu is a worship of those in relationship with Lord Vishnu. So why don't we just really do this? What was it the other day? Just do it. Oh, and I have one more thing I want to say for the benefit of one person in our audience. These three verses, Bhagavad Gita, I made some research. A couple days ago, there was a controversy. That controversy arose because there was a complaint that the name Krishna was not mentioned enough in the class. Actually, at the beginning, he said the entire Maha Mantra. In three verses in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 16, 17, and 18, I was reading these verses and meditating on this class, and all of a sudden, it occurred to me that as far as references to Krishna were concerned, there was one. There were 33 other references, such as Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, the Lord, God, impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, Godhead, Supreme Personality of Godhead. The name Krishna was mentioned once. So, 33 to 1. Now, I am not advocating that one should keep that ratio. Certainly elsewhere in Prabhupada's purports, the ratio is entirely reversed. But I am simply saying, for sake of argument, that we should take the whole context. If we go away from a class with a better understanding of how the material energies are separated by those who are forgetful of Krishna, and how to utilize that energy in the service of the Lord, and how it becomes spiritualized, it's actually a very good class. Hare Krishna. Yes? Good. Microphone for His Grace Vishal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So, you see, when you mention that, I think you're referring to me.
No, no. Oh, not at all.
You know? Of course, Saraswati, Mother Malati's daughter, you know, mentioned Lord Krishna, and Prabhupada was pleased that,
yes.
You know, he said that you can tell how your class is, how many times you use the word Krishna or Lord Chaitanya. That wasn't what I was going to ask you, but...
That's a very nice point. Thank you.
Yeah. So, because God, sent going through the... I think the devotee said he wanted to be a Christian minister. We want to make him a Krishna minister.
That's very
instead.
Good.
Instead. So you said the moment you say... I think you said in your class, the moment you say, My dear Lord Krishna, or my dear Lord, from this day on I'm yours. The Lord gives you, Krishna gives you all protection.
Yeah.
But is it simply a matter of lip service?
No, good point.
Because Prabhupada once said again, Maya is always attacking the mind and the body, push on. And isn't it more than just saying it? One has to feel it sincerely. Very much, very sincerely feel, my dear Lord, from this day on I'm yours, and
right.
Be very serious about the statement.
Yes.
Not just say it.
Yes, this is a very good point.
Uh-huh.
When you say something to Krishna, you better say what you mean, because Krishna knows what's in your heart. You can't lie to Krishna. He knows exactly your mentality. So, yes. Good point, Michelle. Any other questions or comments over here? Thank you, Michelle.
Srila Prabhupada often said in this very context that we need to be sincere, use our intelligence, and then Krishna will guide you from within.
Hmm. Nice point. Yes. Yes, that's a fact. Krishna is externally manifests as a spiritual master, and internally he's there as the super soul. And he guides just as he's how is it said in Bhagavad Gita? He's the sanctioner, he's the overseer and permitter. You know the Upadrastanumantacha Bharta Bok Maheshwara, yes. He's sanctioning. You have this material desire. Or he's reminding, even. You have forgotten from a previous birth, but you were cultivating this desire also. Oh, you wanted to do this. So, with the devotee, he helps him from within. He helps him from within. Yes. This verse from 10th chapter Bhagavad Gita. Microphone? Yes, yes. You quoted the verse. You should say, where's the microphone for Preacher Prabhu? Give him the...
That's embarrassing. Tesham evanukampatam aham agyana jam tamaha nashayami atma bhavastu jnana dupina pasvata.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's part of the Chatusloki of Bhagavad Gita, right? I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the darkness of with a lamplight of knowledge, I destroy the darkness of ignorance. Another one. Give him the microphone.
This is actually my favorite. It's Machita Sarvadurgani. It's so wonderful. Machita, if you direct your consciousness towards me, Sarvadurgani, then all the Durganis, all the impediments, Matpasaram, by my mercy, Tarishyasi, will be destroyed.
Wonderful.
That's, I think this is one of the most incredible verses of the whole Gita. In two verses, in two lines, the whole key is given to our spiritual life. Machita Sarvadurgani, not Samdurgani, Sarvadurgani. Matpasaram, by my mercy, Bas, Tarishyasi.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Anything else? Comments, questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You were told in a class one point that by having material desires, we take the representative of Lord in our life casually.
Hmm.
So, like, can you please elaborate how like these two are related? By having material desires, we take.
Well, the first mistake is to take the pure devotee to be an ordinary man. There's a verse that refers to that as being the person who thinks that way has hellish mentality. In the same way that one would consider the deity to be simply stone or wood, to consider the Lord's pure representative to be an ordinary man, it's a hellish mentality. And that's taken casually, you know? And that's the risk of cultivating or keeping material desires. Because what do you value in life? This point was being made nicely by Mahatattva Prabhu in regard to capitalism. In capitalism, what is considered the highest value? Capital, wealth. And therefore, as a result, the acquisition of that wealth is the primary activity of a person who's arranged his priorities like that. So a devotee should always place the satisfaction of the Lord and his pure representative at the top. This is the top priority. Even he may have some material desires, he puts them on a lower place. Otherwise, there's risk, because then one comes into the realm of committing offenses by being casual towards the Lord's. To the Lord and his devotees. Now, I emphasize the pure devotee and avoiding offenses. Avoid offenses to any devotee. Any devotee. There's great risk. That's what really makes that razor's edge sharp. One has to be very careful. And especially because we've spent so many lifetimes being puffed up, that is something we have to really work on. We have to come to this position of karpanya, humility. And, you know, Krishna makes arrangements for us to come there. But we shouldn't be taken there kicking and screaming, have to be dragged there. We should know. You know, and you understand this from reading Prabhupada's books, and becoming analytical about your own miserable material existence, how useless and worthless we are, separate from Krishna. Just, you know, like children eating dirt. Well, they're not useless or worthless. But that activity is useless and worthless. We should not have a very high estimation of ourselves. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we see, like, you know, we every time we stress on association of devotee, and sometimes, not sometimes, many times actually, when we come in the association of devotee, especially when we get closer to some devotee, we start committing offense. So what should precaution one should take in the association of devotee?
Well, first thing is don't commit offenses. If you become conscious that you're committing offense, then the first step is to sincerely apologize and try to render service to that devotee. That is a good way to get rid of the offensive mentality. Render service to that person. You know? I've certainly... I've done devotees' laundries before, believe me. So offensive I am. Find some way to render service to them and satisfy them with sincere apology, offer obeisances. If we're always bowing down to devotees, it's hard to have a puffed up mentality. I was in a Delhi temple before I came here, and I was so enchanted by the mood of the devotees. They're always, you know, as soon as they're seeing each other, not hitting the floor, offering obeisances, you know. You'll have to run away from them to keep them from serving you. I mean, Hare Krishna. What a nice mood. And that mood is also here. But we should be like that, you know. As soon as we see a devotee, first thing in the morning, we should be offering obeisances. And we should always be offering devotees obeisances from within our heart. Especially in America. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I think if we not just try to avoid, not only trying to avoid offenses to the devotees, we should also try to avoid offenses to non-devotees. Because if we have that mentality, we will never make offenses to the devotees.
That's great. I heard in a class His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Swami say, you can commit Vaishnava Parad by offending a non-devotee who later becomes a devotee. So if you remember that, you'll want to be very careful. Yes, Prabhu.
You were talking about, like, we are having material desires and Krishna cleaned the heart and you gave us the hope also after discussing whole thing. So what is it that attracts Krishna's attention, that our endeavor, like what we should do to attract the quick response?
Preacher Prabhu will answer.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he speaks about that point. And he says, just like to Vrindavan, so many demons came and caused so much disturbance. So the residents of Vrindavan, they would just take shelter in Krishna. They run towards Krishna. So in the same way, he said, there are so many demons in the heart. It's in this chapter where he compares all the anartas in the heart to the various demons, like, for example, pride to the horse demon, Keshi. And he says, therefore, the devotee should admit every day that he's defeated by the material energy. He should admit every day that he's defeated by the material energy. And therefore, the ask the Lord, pitiful, to kill all the demons in the heart. And then Krishna will kill all the demons. And it's interesting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, because the every day one should pray like this, please Krishna, destroy these demons in my heart. Because Prabhupada said, you're not afraid of Maya. He said, I pray every single day to Krishna that I do not fall into Maya. Every day. And he was a pure devotee. So we are so confident, like sometimes the devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes in Maya. Prabhupada said, you're always in Maya. Always. So we are so confident. The Rishikesh is not you. The Rishikesh is Krishna. He's a Rishikesh. He's Gopal, Go is, means cows, but also senses, the shelter of the senses. He's Gopal, the Rishikesh. So our endeavor is to petition Krishna every single day, maybe between every round. Very good idea. To ask Krishna, please remove all these demons in my heart. I can't do it. I have to do my bit, naturally. I do my best, Krishna must do the rest. This is a good formula. I do my best, Krishna will do the rest.
Wonderful. Pray. Preeti Prabhu trained me in Krishna consciousness. Clarification? Oh, microphone's gone back. Later when it comes up. I hope we're not detaining you too long.
Hare Krishna.
Yes,
Prabhu, on the point of associating and giving reports to the spiritual master, in situations where you have a counseling system, where you have a Shiksha Guru, in that case, do you just stop at the Shiksha Guru level, or you still have this responsibility of reporting everything to the spiritual master?
The counselor system is really nice, from what I've heard and seen of it. It's very nice. You should stay in touch with your spiritual master. You don't have to report everything, but you should stay in regular touch. Because that enthuses the spiritual master. Not that you have to go to the spiritual master with one problem after another. If you have news, yesterday I distributed 5 books, I met this nice person, and you want to give encouragement, you know, and that's a nice thing to do. Again, it's all about personal relationships. It was one of the first things that shocked me about the Vedic philosophy was this concept that there was life everywhere and that there was a predominating deity of the earth. It personalized everything. It was a real assault on my heavily entrenched impersonal mentality, which is still I'm trying to break down. So yeah, it's all right. Stay in touch with your spiritual master. Anyway, there are Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru. So stay in touch. That's association. We should never underestimate that power. And conversely, don't stay in touch with materialistic persons. Don't stay in touch with them. Don't be intimate with them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this as well. He says that a grihastha, he has to have some contact with non-devotees. But the contact should not be intimate. It should not be intimate, you know. And Lord Chaitanya says, this is Prabhupada says, it's the very first thing Lord Chaitanya says about association. Asat sangatyaga e vaishnavachar. A Vaishnava, he rejects the association of non-devotees. Anything else? Yeah, over here.
Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was asked, does the spiritual master knows everything? So Srila Prabhupada replied, whatever only Krishna wanted him to know, he will know. So one time there was an instance where some big problem in the temple, and nobody told Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, I don't know everything, so why you did not tell me? But devotees, they're thinking that spiritual master knows everything. So regarding to reporting to the guru, as you mentioned, it's always good to let him know what's going on.
Yeah.
He doesn't know everything. Whatever only Krishna wanted him to know, that he knows. Where kind of steering the nectar.
This is, yes, this is taking advantage of the association of advanced devotees. It is. This is what this
you're
is
very
what,
cynical.
This is what
you're
this
very,
class this
cynical.
Is what these classes are all about. This is what it's about.
No, there's a verse in Vedanta Sutra where it says that the difference between the super soul, the Paramatma, and the external manifestation of the Paramatma, spiritual master. One of them is that it says there in that verse that from the Lord the universes are emanating, not from the body of the spiritual master. The second is that the Lord is omniscient, and the spiritual master is not omniscient, but Krishna can give him knowledge. And the third item I forgot. There's one item more. Huh? Yeah, I forgot the third one. You know, so anyway, that's in the Vedanta Sutra. That's the verse.
Oh, there was one devotee here. You had?
I just wanted to clarify that I don't get faith in prayers. Like, I don't get much faith in prayers. So how to, like you were saying, I should petition to Krishna or pray to Krishna. So how do we put faith in that?
Put faith in that? Just do it.
Just do
you
it.
You see, unless you ask, I mean, we're coming from a Christian background.
Yeah.
In the Christian background, Jesus said we should become like children. Hmm. It doesn't mean that we put pacifiers in our mouths and start playing with toys. No, child is always asking, oh, give me this, give me mommy this, mommy that, Peter, this is a problem. That. The child is always asking. That's the point. This mentality of dependency on Krishna, Sharanagati, you know, that's the essence of it. Because one is so puffed up and thinks, by my energy, by my power, I will overcome the material nature. But it's very clearly stated, Daivisha guna mamma mayadratya, mami vaya prapadanti. So Rab Muni tried that one for 55,000 years, and he failed by his own strength. So the essence of the whole thing that makes the whole thing go is, mat prasadam tarishyasi, by my mercy, one can be relieved. By Krishna's mercy, one can be released. He is actually releasing the soul, and therefore, again from the Bible, ask and it will be given to you. We have to ask. We don't ask, you don't get it. That's what he also said, my dear God brother.
You're my God uncle. Yeah, this is also confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya Lila chapter 19, purport of text 149. Famous verse, Krishna Bhakti Nishkama Teva Shanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakali Ashanta. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, a Krishna Bhakta has no desire for his own personal benefit. He's completely protected by the Supreme. Avasya Rakshibe Krishna Vishvasa Palanam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that he is desireless because Krishna will give him protection in all circumstances. And then this thing about the child. It is not that he expects any assistance from Krishna. He simply depends on Krishna just as a child depends on his parents. The child does not know how to expect service from his parents, but he is always protected nevertheless. This is called nishkama, desirelessness. Anything else?
Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Krishna.